Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, we're going to be in the book of Micah this morning. We've covered Hosea, Joel, and Amos, and Obadiah, and Jonah, and now we're at Micah. That means we have, after Micah, we only have three left. All right? Only have three left after Micah. We've been kind of, all these books happen between the latter 700 B.C., okay, because something happens in 722 B.C. What happens in 722 B.C.? Rib fest, Sennacherib. Yep, there you go. You remembered it, didn't you, Mary Beth? Yes, you have one other Tigbax or Leser or something like that, and then you have Sennacherib that come down and take out northern Israel, which is called Israel, for reference as far as in your when you look at the prophets. The top 10 tribes were called Israel. The lower two were called Judah. All right. So here again, Micah is in this time period right around 750, 780 BC, prior to the 722 destruction that is going to come by Assyria, prior to the destruction that happens in Babylon, from Babylon in 586. All right? Micah was from a small town southwest of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is south. I don't know, do we have a map, Chris? Did we have that map? Jerusalem, it tends to be more in the south. And then the town that he was from was just 22 miles southwest of there. So up here you have Assyria, okay? Over here you have Babylon. And Jerusalem is fairly down south in all of Israel. Israel would extend over all this area. And so he was a little bit further southwest, about 20 miles from Jerusalem, was where Micah grew up. He does not call himself a prophet, but he is known as the prophet of the middle class and of those in poverty. He's called the prophet of the middle class. And the reason is because he also, like Amos and some of the other minor prophets, dealt with the issue of social injustice that was taking place in the land of Israel. And it is mentioned here again in the book of Micah. And so in the book of Micah, you see some of the same common themes of Israel. The judgment is coming, and so they're warning Israel. He speaks of Assyria coming down. He also speaks of Babylon invading the land. He speaks to both Israel and to Judah both. Okay? But there's one thing that is unique about Micah, and that's what I want to point our attention to this morning, is that Micah gives us a portrayal of Jesus the Messiah as the shepherd king. As the shepherd king. My wife sees the graphic up there of the shepherd, and she goes, "Why do we have a Christmas thing up there?" Well, you know, the only time we talk about shepherds more than at Christmas time, but that is often the time we think about shepherds, isn't it? We have the wise men and the shepherds, right? But as we see, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not be in want." And in Micah, we see this portrayal of Jesus the Messiah as the shepherd king. And so that's what I want us to kind of look at, that uniqueness part of Micah. It's seven chapters long, and we're going to kind of just skim upon across the parts that deal with this idea of Jesus, the Messiah, being the shepherd king. So I want us to begin in Micah chapter 2, looking at verses 12 and 13. And we'll pray. It says, "I will surely gather you, all of you, O Jacob, and I will surely bring you together, the remnant of Israel. And I will bring you together like sheep in a pen." So he's going to gather. Sheep is a reference to the people of Israel. And in a larger context to all of us, okay? You may not like the idea of being called a sheep, but there's a lot of similarities, okay? Like a flock in its pastures, a place will throng with people. One who breaks open the way will go before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, and the Lord at their head. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray you take your word and apply it to our hearts. In your name we pray, amen. The first thing that we see about Jesus, the shepherd king, that we see in the book of Micah, is that he will gather. He will gather. Now, you may think, well, how does that apply? Well, a leader is able to have a following, right? Okay? Now, there's a lot of people that can claim to be a leader, but if you don't have any people that want to follow you, are you a leader, right? Okay? You're not. You're a self-proclaimed leader, but you're not technically a leader. And one of the things that we see that Micah portrays about Jesus, the Messiah, is that he is going to be able to gather the people of Israel and the church, his sheep, to gather them together. They've been scattered, and he's going to bring them together. So it is immediately talking about Israel and their judgment, and that they're going to be scattered, and God's going to bring back this remnant together and lead them out in victory. Now, we apply that even to our life, that God is able to come and to gather people, and that we're able to follow him. And so the immediate application is concerning Assyria and Babylon. But it points to a day when Jesus, the Messiah, will be the shepherd king. He will sit upon David's throne in Jerusalem, and he'll be a true leader that people are willing to follow and that they want to follow. And that's important. It's one thing that to follow somebody that you feel like you have to follow, that you don't have a choice. It's another thing to be under leadership that you want to be under that leadership. You desire, you crave, and you hunger for that. And that's what we see of Jesus, is that he will provide leadership and be able to gather the people from all over the world under his leadership and lead them out. That is a true sign of leadership. I think of when Jesus walked the earth and he began his ministry, he was a nobody. Okay, He was a carpenter's son. He really didn't have the name recognition that people would follow him. But why did they start following him? The crowds. People would come from all over Israel to hear Jesus speak, right? Some were wanted to be healed. But he created such a stir that all of a sudden, then, you know, you have the Romans getting involved and the religious leaders were upset. But he was able to draw this crowd until where you had the feeding of the 5,000, where thousands of people had gathered to hear him speak and to be ministered to. I think of David in the wilderness. David was a shepherd, and then one day he came out and took care of Goliath, right, at a young man. Kills Goliath. He's brought to power. He becomes a general in Saul's army. Things are going well. All of a sudden, Saul became jealous of David and God's favor upon his life. In fact, tried to kill David 3 times. And so David flees for his life. And he ends up in the wilderness on his own. But even in the wilderness, it says a great multitude of men gathered around David. And before long, he had his own army. They were kind of misfits. They were people that were in trouble with the law. But all of a sudden, he had a respectable army. Why? Because he was a true leader, and the people gathered around him. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, Jesus talks about himself being a shepherd. And he says, the one who enters the gate is the shepherd. In other words, a criminal is going to do what? Is he going to go through the gate? Well, how's he going to get into the pen to steal? He's going to hop over, right? Okay? But the shepherd comes through the gate. And he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep know his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. All right? And in America, we've lost that idea of what a shepherd is, right? You go back to Israel in some places, and maybe even in Africa, there's still that idea. But a shepherd could walk into a place, a sheep pen, and have all these sheep that are there, and he could call out his sheep, and his sheep would follow him because they knew his voice. And see, that is that idea that Jesus the Messiah will gather his people and they will follow. It's some pretty neat imagery that is there. God created us as human beings to be in a relationship with him, to know his voice and to follow him. And so Jesus the Messiah will lead us and guide us. So the second thing that we see about the shepherd king, that's found in verse 13, is that he is the one that will break open the way. He'll go before him, and he will lead them out. Okay, this is the idea that he's going to lead them out of probably some oppression. He's going to deliver them. And so the second thing we see about the shepherd king is that he guides. Now, there's a lot of leaders in our world, but not all of them lead people in things that are good, right? Can you give me examples of some bad leaders? Not that they're not a good leader, but they lead people into bad things. What about ISIS, right? Capturing people even from America, people are being drawn over there to fight for their cause and to do violence and some pretty horrible things. What about Hitler? Was Hitler a pretty big leader? Yeah, he did a lot of bad things though, didn't he? So just being a leader does not mean that you're going to lead people into good things. But Jesus, the shepherd king, will lead his people in things that are good. He'll lead them towards deliverance, towards provision and restoration. He's a leader that builds up, and he's a leader that restores. And so in the passage that Tessa read, David says, what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Now, David knew a little bit of something about shepherding, didn't he? He grew up as a shepherd. He knew what was involved in being a shepherd, making sure that your sheep were well fed, so you led them to green pastures. And, you know, what happens if sheep or cattle are on a pasture too long? They graze it down, right? So then you have to move them on to another pasture. And then you have to make sure that they get water, so you lead them to waters that are refreshing, that are clean, that will nourish them. And just a beautiful psalm that is there. But the shepherd guides them because they aren't able to find that on their own. A lamb may seem to be cute and endearing, right? They're kind of cute. But sheep, as a general rule, are fragile and susceptible to disease, to being attacked by wolves, coyotes, other mountain lions. They're susceptible. In fact, if you were to ask, Gary's still helping out there in the office, but if you were to ask Gary what he'd like to raise, sheep or cattle, what would he like to raise? Cattle, yeah. And he talked to most guys in Nebraska, well, you want to raise sheep or cattle? And they would say, cattle. Why? Does it taste better? Well, you know, I do prefer probably a beefsteak over a lamb. But one of the big reasons is that, there's Gary. Why are cattle better than sheep, Gary? They smell better. They smell. There you go. There's one reason. They don't go follow each other over a cliff, okay? Sheep are not known as being smart. They get disease easy. But cattle, they can give birth and even in pretty rough conditions, and they survive. They're just hardy. Sheep, on the other hand, aren't that way. Now, isn't it amazing that Scripture compares us to sheep? It's amazing. But Jesus, as the shepherd king, will lead and direct his people. And this applies that I believe that God knows how we are made. You know, a shepherd is able to guide his sheep, and God, our shepherd, is able to guide us because he knows how we are made. He created us. He formed us. And if we're left to our own ways, we sometimes can do a pretty good job of making a mess out of our lives, can't we? Right? If we follow our own desires and our own wants, we can really get ourselves in some pretty awful places. And that's why we need Jesus as our shepherd to guide and direct us. You know, I know none of you here, but you know, you candy. How many have a sweet tooth? Right? All right, a few of you have a sweet tooth. Now, I know none of you have never opened up a bag of candy or they're your favorite sweet and just ate too much until you got sick. Right? I think Josh has one time. It was those Oreo balls, wasn't it? Yeah. They were good. And then all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh, I don't feel so good. You know, sometimes the things that we want aren't the best things for us. And we need the guidance and the shepherding of God, of Jesus, the Shepherd King. His guidance is what we need, and not always what we want, but what we need and what's good for us. Much like parenting a child. Number three, let's turn to chapter 5 of Micah. Another reference to Jesus as Shepherd King in verses 2 through 5. And you're going to probably recognize this passage of Scripture, okay? You can tell me what it refers to. But in you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, one whose origins are of old, from ancient times. Anybody know what that's referring to? I'll keep going. Therefore, Israel will not be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth. Any guesses? And the rest of his brothers will return to join the Israelites. Where's that passage quoted again? In Matthew chapter 2. What's in Matthew chapter 2? Who's he referring to? Micah's referring to the birth of who? Jesus. And so Matthew quotes from Micah that it is out of Bethlehem that this child would be born. Isn't that amazing? 700 years or better before Christ would ever be born, it was prophesied where he would be born and the reference to him. Verse 4, and he will stand and he will shepherd his flock in strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely for them his greatness, and will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. And often the picture we see of Jesus is one that of meekness and the soft individual, right? He has the flowing hair and the kind eyes. And I think he might be all of that. But he's also no pushover, okay? He was a carpenter's son, so he was used to hard work and labor. But even we see within Scripture that Jesus the Messiah, as our Shepherd King, he's going to be one of strength and of compassion, both. But he'll be a strong leader that provides security and peace. You know, not only would a shepherd guide and lead his sheep so that they had provision, they were well-fed and watered, but he would also protect from wild animals and dangers. There was lady shepherds in the Bible too. Okay, Rachel was one of them. But they protect from wild animals. In fact, David, it says, on one time he killed a lion. Another time he killed a bear. Now, the difference between a hireling and a shepherd is that a shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. The hireling would see the bear and go, whoop, all right, I'm gone, I'm quitting today. But a shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. And David took on the lion and the bear before he ever took on Goliath. And so a shepherd would provide that security and protection. But a hireling would run away. A shepherd provides peace. And so when you provide that security, the byproduct of that is peace. We feel secure. We're at rest. We enjoy that. And Micah was pointing ahead to when Jesus, the Messiah, would rule and reign in Jerusalem. And it's called the millennial reign of Christ. It's you read into Revelation and Daniel, you see about this thousand-year period where Jesus will sit on David's throne and he'll rule and reign in peace. He's going to provide security for this world. It's going to happen after what? The Battle of Armageddon. How many have heard of the Battle of Armageddon? You've heard of that, right? Okay, after the Battle of Armageddon, we have this thousand-year reign where Jesus will rule and reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. It'll be a time of peace. So Micah's pointing even years, thousands of years before when he's writing this. He's pointing ahead. That's what prophecy is. Some of it applies now, some of it reaches out there. But you know what? David understood that even now, even though some of these prophecies haven't been fulfilled, Jesus is that shepherd king that can shepherd our own heart. And David understand that. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you think God can do that for you in the middle of the night or in the difficult time of your life where you feel anxious, where you feel fear, whether it's over the report you just got from the doctor or whether it's the bill you got in the mail or the tragedy that you just found out that took place? The Lord is our shepherd, and he can walk with us in peace and security even through difficult times. And he gives the reference of the sheep. Even though if they couldn't see him in that dark valley, they could feel his rod and his staff. They were reminders that his presence is there. You know, sometimes we can't always see God in the difficult times of life. You know, so there's times it's like God is sitting right next to us, right? We sense his presence and nearness. But sometimes in the difficult times of life, it's kind of like, God, where are you? But God's presence is there with us. And it's going to be okay. Even when we go through the difficult times of life. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll protect and guide us to the end. Jesus is our shepherd king. In chapter 7, Micah points out a couple other final two things that we learn about the shepherd king. Chapter 7. I'm going to start in verse 14, focusing more on 18 and 19. But it says, shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, which lives by itself in a forest in the fertile pasture lands. Let them be fed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days long ago, as in the days when you came out of Egypt. I will show them my wonders. Nations will see and be ashamed, deprived of their power, and they will lay their hands on their mouths, and their ears will become deaf. They will lick dust like a snake. In other words, he's going to humble some of these nations like creatures that crawl on the ground. They'll come trembling out of their dens, and they'll run for the fear of the Lord and will be afraid of you. Verse 18, who is a God like you? Is the question Micah asked. In fact, Micah means who is like Yahweh. That's what his name means. Who is like Yahweh? Yahweh meaning, that was the name of God in Hebrew, Yahweh. He says, who is like Yahweh? Who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance. Who does not stay angry forever, but delights in showing mercy. And the fourth thing that we see about the shepherd king is that he redeems. He redeems. Here Micah alludes to the shepherd king providing redemption for his flock, for his people. Redemption is the idea that God is dealing with our sin. Okay, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, every one of us here today. Even Chloe, as cute as she is. Oh, yes. We've all sinned. And we stand in need of God's redemption. And so God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and to take our place. And so Isaiah 53, 4 through 6 says that surely Jesus took up our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. And he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have what? we've gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid upon himself the iniquity of us all. Jesus, the Shepherd King, provides redemption for his people. And see, John, we see it mentioned here in Isaiah. But then if you go to the Gospel of John, chapter 10 again, Jesus says of himself, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He provides redemption for the world and for you here today, because he's the good shepherd. Lastly, in verse 19, the Shepherd King, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread out our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities in the depths of the sea. More redemption. And you will be true of Jacob and show mercy to Abraham as you pledged on oath to our fathers as in days long ago. And the last one is that he is our divine physician. The Shepherd King is the divine physician. You know, a shepherd was a lot of different things, wasn't he? He was the guide, he was the protector, but he was also the physician, right? If a lamb broke its leg or had a wound, the shepherd was there to bind it up and demonstrate compassion. And if you Google on the internet and look for pictures of shepherds, you're going to find, you know, the lamb over the shoulder of the shepherd or of Jesus. The idea that the shepherd has compassion and provides that healing touch to the sheep that is injured. And going back to Isaiah 53:5, it says that he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now that is a direct reference to healing in a couple different levels. First of all, it healed our relationship with God, right? Because sin was dealt with. Sin separated us from God. Sin was now dealt with, and so our relationship with God was healed. All right? But I also believe that it extends to divine healing, physical healing, healing of relationships, and physical healing. And we see that manifested in the ministry of Jesus, that as he prayed for people, the sick were healed. And so when we pray for people even today, often we quote that passage, that it is by his stripes we are healed. It's a reference to our relationship with God being healed, but it is from what Jesus did on the cross that there's power for our healing. Amen? Amen. You know, sometimes we come to God in pretty tough shape. Our relationships may be in a wreck. Physically, we may be hurting. Emotionally, maybe things are a disaster. But God can help put our life back together because he's the good shepherd that is also the divine physician. Amen? Amen. I'm going to have the musicians come. The Shepherd King, he gathers to himself. He guides, he protects, he redeems, he heals. And I believe that Jesus is here right now to shepherd our soul and to guide and direct us. And what I find is often we try to go on through life without a shepherd. We think we can do it on our own. Even when we know the truth, even though we have Jesus in our heart, at times we try to go on our own. And then sometimes we wander, right? We wander. Even from the shepherd that loves us and has compassion for us, we wander. You know, and I was thinking about the illustration, the picture of a shepherd with his sheep. In America, we've replaced the shepherd with what? Fences and barbed wire, haven't we? Think about that. Keeps the sheep from wandering. You know, and if you maybe were to make some analogies out of that, Sometimes we try to make rules. Rules would be the barbed wire fence. We try to say, you know what, rules will keep those sheep in line where they need to be, right? But rules will never cure our wandering hearts, folks. And there's not that personal touch in barbed wire. It's cold, it's steel, and it doesn't cure the wandering heart. And that's why we need a shepherd. And that's why Jesus came in that way, in that metaphor, to be a shepherd for us. That would lead, that would guide, that would protect, that would nourish our hearts and our soul. Amen? Would you stand this morning? And I'm not sure where you're at this morning, but God is there to meet us, whether it's for salvation, for healing. I know we have some requests this morning. We're going to be up at the front, Gil and Emily and Victor and Yolanda. If you have a need this morning, we're going to pray with you. But my challenge is for you as you go through this week and is to have that picture of in your head that Jesus is our shepherd. And sometimes we get stuck on things that we want, and we try to go our own way instead of following His guidance and His leadership in our life and what is best for us. So just take a few moments just to talk with God this morning and share your heart and your life and let Him speak to you. Amen? Amen. We're going to close with a hymn that maybe you kind of grew up with. Maybe you haven't heard for a while, but it ties in well with the message. And maybe it'll bring back some good memories for you.